My name is Aphrodita Krasnici, and I will be your host today. I am the Outreach and Recruitment Officer for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program based in New York City. I will talk about the application process, highlight postdoc awards, and also early career opportunities, and will share with you insights on how to make a strong and very competitive application. Like I said earlier, please chat in the box if you have any questions, and I will be happy to answer. Again, we proceeded to the slide number 2, and I appreciate if you can confirm the change of the slide just so that I know you're following me and the actions we're undertaking. Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. So before we start, I would like just to talk a bit briefly about the mission and the history of the Fulbright program. So just so you know more and to put this in the context of your application, the Fulbright program is United States government's flagship international educational and cultural exchange program. The global network of Fulbrighters fosters mutual understanding between the United States and over 160 partner countries worldwide. It advances knowledge across communities and improves lives around the globe. It was established in 1946, and the Fulbright program offers opportunities for passionate and accomplished scholars and professionals of all backgrounds. And they can teach, they can study, conduct research, and help find solutions to shared international concerns. It is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs. The Fulbright program is administered in close collaboration with U.S. embassies and Fulbright commissions, whereas here in the U.S., it is administered by Institute of International Education, and this is the organization that I'm employed by. Today, the program operates in more than 130 countries worldwide, and its alumni include 86 Pulitzer Prize winners and 16 Nobel Prize laureates. So just to give you a little bit about information about the amazing history and the mission of the Fulbright program, because you really need to incorporate that in your application. Keep in mind that Fulbright is always striving to ensure that the applicants reflect the diversity of the U.S. society abroad. So we encourage the involvement of people from traditionally underrepresented audiences in all of our grants and programs. So opportunities are open to people regardless of their race, color, national origin, sex, age, religion, etc. So this is very important for you to keep in mind. Before we dive in into the specific awards that we'll be highlighting here today for postdoc and early career, it's always good to keep in mind and remind you that the eligibility that for becoming a Fulbright U.S. scholar is, first of all, to be a U.S. citizen. Then the second most important requirement is to follow the requirements by the award. So sometimes PhD or other terminal degrees may be required in most of the cases, and especially for postdoc awards and early career. We'll go into that in more detail soon. But many awards are also open to applicants with master degree as long as they have substantial professional or academic experience. It is open to also professionals and artists outside of academia with recognized standing and substantial accomplishments. Every award has different teaching requirements, so you just want to pay close attention to the experience that they are looking for in these awards. And there are new policies for previous Fulbrighters, so as long as you wait 2 years from the time you ended your last grant until the time you apply, you are eligible to apply. But of course, priority will be given to applicants who have not had a Fulbright before, but those who've had a Fulbright before really need to provide a strong justification to why they need another Fulbright in their career. How do you select the right award? Basically, just following the requirements of the award description. So you want to match your expertise and also how many years of experience and the proposal, what you're planning to do, and whether that matches the requirement in the award. If you have regional experience and or if you speak the language, it's always good. It helps you become a better cultural ambassador. Even if you don't speak the language, I always recommend applicants to enroll into a language course. So from now until the time if they're selected, then you could at least learn the basics of that language and you can communicate and connect with the community much easier. Please follow carefully the discipline preferences in the awards. You'll notice that some awards welcome applicants in all disciplines, but then there are some awards that have the discipline preferences. So you always can enhance your application by trying to follow the topic of research or teaching that is represented in the award description. And why is the project important and relevant to the host country? And how are they going to benefit from your project? So that's important to highlight and present on your project statement. Then today we're going to discuss the early career and postdoc opportunities. But keep in mind that Fulbright also offers opportunities for mid-level and also more senior or distinguished chair awards. How do you select a Fulbright that works for you? Because we understand that not often the scholars or the applicants cannot take leave. That's why they included the flex option, which is available in 63 countries and two world areas. Basically, it allows you to do multiple visits over the stretch of 2 years for as long as you stay at least 1 month in the country. So that's important to keep in mind. So I just want to confirm once again that you can see the slide because I got a comment that you cannot. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Bear with me as technology sometimes does not work well with us. So basically going back to the awards throughout your career, let's say you're applying now for a postdoc or an early career award, then later on, you're selected, and then later on, you're interested to do another Fulbright later in the career. So as long as you kind of justify, you know, how that previous Fulbright prepared you for a different stage in your career and how usually the first Fulbright experience opens doors to so many collaborations, and that's why many of the first-time Fulbrighters want to do again, want to apply for a second or the third Fulbright award. So, there are opportunities for applicants throughout their career. Then there are multi-country awards that you can apply to, but the majority of these awards that we're going to discuss today, you can apply to only one country. However, there are a few of these awards that you can select multi-countries as part of your application. And then there is the Global Scholar Award that allows you to apply to at least two world regions, maximum three world regions. These are very competitive awards, so just to keep in mind. Sometimes the home university affiliation is not required. However, you want to keep in mind what is the impact in the long run, who is going to benefit from the experience upon returning to the U.S. So that's what they want to see in the application, too. And applications are also welcoming artists, professionals, independent and emeritus scholars, too. So just kind of the brief overview. Now we're going to go and a more diving into the awards in different regions. So we'll start with East Asia and the Pacific. You'll see on the right-hand corner there the email address. If you have any like follow-up questions, you can always write to my colleagues there, and they'd be happy to guide you or assist you through the application process. So, okay, let's start with Australia. This is an opportunity for Fulbright postdoctoral scholarship in all disciplines at the Deakin University. It's a 3 to 10 month opportunity that welcomes applications in all disciplines. So, you know, if you are interested to pursue this opportunity in all disciplines, you can definitely look for this one. And then there is another Fulbright postdoctoral scholarship in multiple disciplines at the University of Newcastle in Australia. It's 3 to 10 months and at the University of Newcastle, but they welcome applications in biological sciences with preferred disciplines, chemistry, computer sciences, engineering, environmental sciences, etc. So then moving on to China, it has the China Studies Postdoc Scholar Award. It's 3 to 10 months, and you can affiliate with a local institution of higher education in mainland China. Applicants may spend part of their research time in Hong Kong or Taiwan. Priority areas are global climate change, sustainability, and the environment. So another award in Taiwan, it's open to arts, education, humanities, professional fields, and social sciences for postdoc scholar award. It's 5 to 10 months, and you can affiliate with any appropriate institution. Priority areas are Chinese and or Taiwan studies, creativity, innovation, and cultural industry, cross-strait studies, entrepreneurship, healthcare policy, international affairs, and so forth. So these are opportunities, again, in East Asia and the Pacific that welcome applications in postdoc. So for if you have any questions, you can type them in the chat box, and I'll make sure to get to them later on. Moving on to Europe and Eurasia, there are four opportunities, especially for postdoc awards. And in France, there is the Fulbright HS postdoc award in social sciences for junior research. This is an opportunity from 9 to 12 months, so it's like a one full academic year. And at HS, the host is HS and Social Sciences in Paris. Open to all disciplines, but these are the preferred disciplines. American history, American studies, anthropology, area studies, economics, non-US history, and so forth. The other award in France is the Hauts de France Regional Award. It's junior research. Again, it's a postdoc opportunity. Up to 12 months for traditional grant, possibility to extend for an additional year. So that's an amazing opportunity. Priority areas or priority preferred disciplines, biology and health, food, physics, chemistry, and material sciences, math and computer sciences, energy, transport, digital image, and cognitive science. So if you're interested in one of those fields, definitely I recommend to pursue this opportunity. Moving on with Spain, which offers an all disciplines junior research from 5 to 9 months, intended for scholars at the assistant professor level, who have received their PhD within the last 5 years or have comparable professional qualifications. Keep in mind that in Spain, a candidate with dual U.S. and Spanish citizenships or candidates who are residing in Spain at the time of application or any time thereafter are not eligible for the Fulbright program in Spain. So you want to also watch for other countries as well, because sometimes they're specific about this and they disqualify applicants with dual citizenship. But if you're not sure about this, always check with us or with the colleagues who work in the region, and we'll confirm that with you. We'll check with the hosting country, even if we don't know that information. So the last award that I want to highlight is the European Union Fulbright Schumann Postdoctoral Award at the European University Institute in Florence, Italy. That's an amazing city to be in. It's a 3 to 9 months, and applicants should have a demonstrated interest in EU studies, so in European Union studies. That is represented through the publication of articles which carry observations, prognoses, or suggestions for current topics important to the transatlantic relationship. It's good to also mention that this award is managed by the Fulbright Commission in Belgium, even though it is placed in Italy. So these are the Europe Awards, and these are just, covering the postdoc opportunities, because we'll go through the early career as well later. Moving on to Middle East and North Africa. So as you notice here, Israel has four opportunities, four awards in postdoc. And we'll start with the first one, the All Discipline Postdoctoral Fellowship. It is up to 8 grants that they're offering. Up to 8 people will be selected, and they will be placed at any accredited Israeli institution for up to 2 academic years. You can stay also 1 academic year. And these 4 opportunities in Israel offer this grant length for 1 or 2 academic years. The other opportunity in Israel is the Fulbright Postdoctoral Fellowship at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev. They will select up to 3 participants to do research fellowship at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev, one of Israel's leading research universities and among the world leaders in many fields. That's a great opportunity. The Fulbright Postdoctoral Fellowship at the University of Haifa, it's a unique opportunity for a Fulbright Research Fellowship and University of Haifa, which is one of Israel's leading research universities and among the world leaders in many fields. The last opportunity in Israel, the 4th one, is Fulbright Postdoctoral Fellowship at Weizmann Institute for Science. And again, it is one of the world's leading multidisciplinary basic research institution in the natural and exact sciences. So these are amazing opportunities right there. The last one opportunity in Middle East and North Africa is in Qatar, a postdoctoral fellowship in water, energy, and environment at HBKU. So this is a postdoc research fellowship to work with on water security research at the Qatar Environment and Energy Research Institute. So this will take place at Doha-based Hamad bin Khalifa University. So these are just amazing opportunities. Moving on to Western Hemisphere, and again, for more like specific questions, you can always reach out to our westhem@iie.org, and we'll be happy to guide you through the application process. The first award in Brazil that we're highlighting here is the Postdoctoral Scholar Award in Natural and Applied Sciences to conduct postdoctoral activities in support of the candidate's professional development while advancing the scholarly mission of the host institution. So the applicant here is encouraged to go to also other parts of Brazil, not just to try to affiliate with some of the large cities. So they would like to see that. In Canada, the Postdoctoral Research Award offers 1 academic year for postdoc fellows who are recent graduates undertaking original research, publishing research findings, or developing and expanding personal research networks. So in Chile, the Fulbright Astronomy and Antarctic Studies Award, it's a postdoc scholars or for early career scientists, It's an opportunity for 3 to 4 months research, and the aim of this award is to enhance research efforts and increase academic exchange opportunities in two specific areas of interest in Chile, Chile and U.S. academic work, astronomy and data sciences and Antarctic studies. The last award in West Ham is in Mexico, Fulbright Garcia Robles Postdoctoral Scholar Award. It's a 3 to 9 month opportunity, postdoctoral fellow undertaking original research, publishing research findings, developing and expanding personal research network, etc. So these are just amazing opportunities that you want to pursue if you have background and interest in one of those disciplines represented. So these were the postdoc awards that we talked about, but then besides those specific postdoc opportunities, we also have the early career award. So early career means 5 years or less experience in teaching and research. So that's postdoc. So if you have that experience after you have received your PhD degree, then you are qualified for early career awards. And I'm going to show you also on our website how to look for these. There are close to 260 opportunities for early career applicants. In Australia, for example, the Fulbright Future Scholarship is funded by the Kinghorn Foundation. Then there is the amazing opportunity in Belgium, and you can engage with NATO in issues in security studies, and this is an opportunity for those who are interested also to do research in transatlantic relationships. In China, the social sciences, humanities, and the arts. In India, which is one of the largest Fulbright programs, it's the Fulbright Nehru Academic and Professional Excellence Awards in all disciplines. So they offer up to 45 grants, so 45 people will be selected to go to this program in the 2021 application cycle. Then we do have the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship, which is more like for practitioners who do work in public policy, and they can select to go in one of the 4 countries that are in partnership with this award. We also recently had a webinar just highlighting this amazing opportunity in public policy. Poland has a great opportunity, a new opportunity in media literacy and cybersecurity. So if that is something that interests you, definitely you want to look into that. And then United Kingdom has the opportunity for early career with in partnership with Lancaster University in the STEM fields. More opportunities that I wanted just to highlight here, for example, if you're a journalist, Albania has an amazing opportunity for investigative journalism, and you can affiliate with one of Albania's leading public universities there. In Austria, there is the opportunity with a partnership with FH Joanneum University of Applied Sciences, a grad visiting professor in computer sciences. Azerbaijan has the All Disciplines Award, so they don't have any preferred disciplines. Belarus has this preferred disciplines in economics and business administration. Cyprus offers the All Disciplines as well. Estonia has multiple disciplines. And then in Finland, there is this mid-career professional development opportunity. As well as in Southeast Asia is the Asian Research Program. And the last award I wanted to highlight here is in Central Asia for early career, teaching English as a foreign language. So you see how diverse the disciplines are, the diverse the regions represented for early career applicants. So now to focus a little bit on the application component. So let's say you chose what country and what award you want to apply to, because remember, you can apply to only one award, one country, unless it is specified differently. for some of the regional awards or some multi-country awards. But once you decide that, then you need to focus on the building a strong application. So how do you do that? Basically, this is a very competitive application process, and it's a lot of moving parts. Therefore, your fallback proposal needs to be three things. It has to be clear, concise, and compelling. So the most important part of the application is the project statement. So the application itself this year, we have a new application online, which is pretty intuitive, user-friendly, and you just register your data there, and then you'll be able to proceed. And you will have also application instructions that you can download, and you just follow that as you proceed with your online application. So going back to the project statement, so it is a brief self-introduction to reviewers and an opportunity to provide answers to the questions reviewers may have about you. So these questions could be like, for example, what professional experience and skills do you offer to the host institution and the hosting country? So this is one of the questions that they will ask. Why are you interested in this particular country, and why this particular award? Why this particular discipline? So your resume should be tailored according to the needs or to the requirements of the award description. So you want to just highlight and put up front some of the things that they're looking for, and then you just highlight that on your resume. There are three letters of recommendations required, but just to keep in mind for postdoc applicants, for applicants currently finishing their doctoral or equivalent terminal degree, if you're applying before your final degree requirements are complete, one of your letters must come from your committee chair addressing your degree progress and expected date of conferral, which must be on or before February 1st, 2020, unless otherwise noted in the award description. So additional documentation, of course, may be requested later. So just keep that in mind, and because it's specific to the postdoc applicants. And then the other two letters of recommendations could come from your colleagues or from your home institution or from an international collaborator if you work on a research before, just so we see how well you work also with other cultures. That's important for reviewers to know. The other components that are important, depending, of course, on the award, if you're applying for a teaching award, we want to see the syllabi. You can use the same syllabi you used in the U.S., or if you want to enhance your application, you can just adjust it a little bit to, according to the needs or from the feedback you're getting from the host institution. Select bibliography only for research awards. So this is basically a list of resources or annotations that you will use during your research. So this can be up to 3 pages. Then language proficiency report only when it is required. Letter of invitation is very important endorsement from the host institution. So you need to be proactive about this letter of invitation when you reach out to the host. You just want to tell them what you plan to accomplish as part of the Fulbright and how they're going to benefit from this. And then they ask them to include this in the letter of invitation, because that's what the reviewers want to see. They want to see how is this going to impact the host institution. If you're applying in one of these disciplines in arts, architecture, writing, and journalism, we want to see the supplemental material, basically samples of your work. So if it's the arts, then you should upload a sample of your artwork. If it's writing, sample of your writing, etc. So we do have specific guidelines on what kind of format and if it's audio or video or photos that you can upload. So we just covered briefly about the project statement, but you really want to focus a little bit on this because this is 3 to 5 pages document that you want to lay out there. And besides the questions that I asked earlier, and also the questions we have here, why Fulbright, why this country, why this institution, why you, why do you need to go on a Fulbright program to do this research or teaching? So you want to think about and reflect this on your application. What do you hope to gain from this experience? And how is your home institution going to benefit from this? So long-term vision, like what is your vision beyond Fulbright? How do you see yourself, you know, after you complete this experience? And also think about addressing this. Last question here, how adaptable are you in living maybe in a challenging situation? Because every culture is different, and if you've lived abroad, you want to highlight that in your application because that shows that you can live well and you can adjust well to new circumstances or new situations. It's important to, of course, connect with the host institution and get a great letter of invitation. And as you probably noticed, as part of the application process itself, you are building relations with these potential host institutions. No matter what is the outcome, whether you're selected or not, you really are working on building this relationship. So you reach out to them, you tell them a little bit about yourself, and if the host is identified, usually it will be found under the location in the catalog of awards. But if it's not identified, there are so many resources to help you find an affiliation, seriously. Internet being the first one, right? So I don't know how the applicants applied in, let's say, 1950s when there was no internet. How did they find their affiliation? So nowadays it's pretty easy to do that. First, you try on internet, then you can also try in your international office on your campus or study abroad office, like depending how it's called. Then we do provide these resources on our website. The Fulbright Scholar Directory is one of a very useful tools. You can look up for the alumni and then just look them up, filter them based on the country they went to. They're interested to apply to Spain, let's say, and you can look them up and you can see their project proposals. You can reach out to them directly. And then just get some feedback from them as well. It's highly recommended. They can suggest, you know, some host institutions too. There are also on the most of these award descriptions, we do provide suggestions for what kind of hosts or resources. Sometimes it's a list of higher education institutions in the hosting country. Sometimes it's the direct contact for that possible host and so forth. Something to keep in mind for the letter of invitation, it's not a contract because, you know, many applicants who apply will seek for a letter of invitation when it's required. So one institution could be issuing multiple letters of invitation. And then it should come from a person that you plan to collaborate as long as that person has the authority to invite you. So it could be sometimes it's the dean or the vice dean, or the person you're collaborating is not in any administrative position, but still, as long as they let their department head know that they're inviting you, then you should be fine. It should be on their host institution letterhead. It should be signed by them, scanned, and just emailed to you. You can upload it to your application directly. How do you submit a competitive application now? This is important to address the goal of the Fulbright program. How are you going to foster mutual understanding? How are you going to do that? You can get some inspiration from previous Fulbrighters, or you can just go on our blog, on our website, and see what others are doing, current Fulbrighters, to connect with communities. Because besides your professional interactions, besides your work of teaching and research, you're also expected to represent the values of the United States. and you are a cultural ambassador of the United States as a Fulbrighter. That's why the Fulbright program is so unique, unlike any other program. You want to address, again, we mentioned this earlier, but it's important to kind of remind you why are you interested in Fulbright and why this country? What are you offering that this host institution can benefit from this? And this is an exchange of experience and knowledge. So as much as you will learn from them, they are going to learn from you. So, you know, you should just highlight that in your application. How adaptable are you? And if you, again, have lived abroad, you want to mention that. And the vision, the multiplier effect. For after you're returning, we've seen many, many cases of Fulbrighters when they come back, then they just enrich their curriculum. They help to bring more students from that country or more faculty come to continue the dialogue. And then just basically if your aim is to make your campus more international and you want to explore a little bit your campus too, if you're an academic, what is the representation of this country in your campus? And maybe you want to see if you're opening doors to more collaboration, so you can use that to your benefit. So now, by September, you are applied, and the deadline is September 16 this year. So you just want to keep in mind that we do have an updated timeline. So this is from last year, and I apologize for this. But the deadline this year is September 16. You don't have to wait until September 16 for this. So in order to be more correct, I'm going to just now go on the website and show you our timeline that we have. Just bear with me 1 second. So this way you will learn also where to find the information about the timeline. All right, so here is our homepage. Actually, this is the awards catalog. And hopefully you're able to see it. All right, so this is our homepage. Could somebody just confirm that you can see this screen, please? I appreciate it. You can see the website that I'm showing. If you could confirm that for me, I appreciate that. All right. Great. So let's move on to the website. How do you navigate through this wealth of information that we have here? First of all, I mentioned earlier the Fulbright Scholar Directory. I'm going to show you this. So you click here, you click on whether it's the U.S. Scholar or whether it's the international, the foreign, the visiting scholars, and then you can click on the advanced filters, and it will show you here, like you can just filter on the country, and then let's say, for example, Spain, because it has one of the postdoc awards, and then you just search the alumni. See? All these alumni listed here, you can just click on their name and find out more about their projects. You can even filter them by discipline, by specialization, maybe by home institution. You want to also check for if somebody from your home institution went on a Fulbright, and then this way you can just get in touch with them and ask for their feedback. So let's go back to exploring the U.S. Scholar Program. This is very important information you will find here, but I wanted to show you just our timeline, basically. The deadline is Monday, September 16. So you apply, let's say, 2-3 days before that. Don't wait until that day to apply. And then after you submit your application, We will review for technical completeness. Let's say you're missing a letter of invitation, even though I do not encourage you to submit your application incomplete. Please, please try to complete it by September 16, including all the components that are required. However, we are aware that sometimes the host institutions do not get back to applicants on timely fashion, or the recommenders do not submit their letters of recommendations. That's why we give you like 1 or 2 weeks more just to complete your application after the deadline. See, that's like a very generous offer from the Fulbright program. After that, let's say your application is complete, then the review committee happens in the U.S. That's the first layer of the review process. These are Fulbright alumni who are going to review your application and based on the discipline committees. And then they will let us know, and we will also communicate that to applicants about their status, whether they pass this stage or not. So you should know no later than December, like mid-December, if you pass this stage or not. For those who pass the stage, then your application is processed further to the hosting countries, and they, depending on who manages the program in the hosting country, whether it's the U.S. Embassy or whether it's the Fulbright Commission, they will review them from December till May. So you will learn about the application status no later than May of 2020 for the application cycle 2021. Then if you're selected, that's great. From May onwards, there are preparations for your grant and for your travel and the logistics. So this is the timeline, and because it's a merit-based program and it's very competitive, that's why they want to make sure that they do a very thorough review of each of the applications. Okay, and last thing I wanted to show you also on our website. So you go on our homepage. Again, I know probably for those who are working on their application, they went here many times. This is the awards catalog, which offers all the awards. We do have 466 awards. So you can filter them by region. You can filter them by country if you have a specific country in mind and you know already. Multi-country area awards by discipline. We do have most of the disciplines represented by activity, whether it's a professional project, which means kind of like a consultant. This is a new activity that was added this year. Grant length, so you want to choose that. Degree requirement, PhD is required or not. Category, this is where you can select, let's say, just postdoc awards that are open to early career scholars, and you will see there are 17 in all world regions represented. So those are the ones we covered today and went in detail about each and every one. Or you can just do like early career, and you'll see 282 awards are found. So many awards to choose from. And then the two last filter options are open to academics or academics and professionals, and whether letter of invitation is required or preferred or should not be sought, etc. This is how you filter and you find your best match. So let's say, for example, this award in Algeria. And just wanted to show you how to also look for the details. So it's an opportunity in Algeria in the discipline of teaching English as foreign language or applied linguistics. They do have all the information. Each award will have the information about the activity here. Pay close attention to this part. You have to match your time according to this. The dates are also important. Whenever they say that this is going to start, even though this should be updated to 2020, because we have so many awards and sometimes not all the years are updated. So So I'm going to take note of that, but to make sure it's updated, but this should be 2020. The preferred disciplines are these, and the let me just go back to the location. You can affiliate with these institutions in the host countries, and then more information about special features. The other information that is important for you to look at, the number of grants, how many people will be selected, what kind of activity is this, is it teaching, research, or combination of both, or consultant or professional project. It is open to early career, PhD is required, application deadline is here, and for each award we do have a program staff dedicated to working on this award. Pay close attention to these four other tabs where you will find information about the award requirements. The letter of invitation is preferred for this one. Definitely seek the letter of invitation when it is preferred. And then more information about the invitation requirements. It is language requirements. Working knowledge, let's say, of French or Arabic is preferred. And then it is open to academics only and so forth. Award benefits are listed here, and more information about whether they provide dependent tuition allowance. So some of awards also support dependents to join you on the program. Isn't that amazing? So that they can get also a Fulbright experience too. And then more information about the country. Here you will find information about the country, but also I recommend that you look for the U.S. Embassy websites for these countries that you're planning to apply to, because that's how you will get like an impartial view of the country. And also, remember, this is funded by the U.S. government. So when you check the U.S. Embassy website, you will see what are some of the priorities of the U.S. government in this hosting country and whether your application or your discipline falls into those priorities. So that's, you know, important for you to know too. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to our last slide that we have here about connecting with us. You should join my Fulbright at cis2.org to get connected and get updates about the messages that we send to the applicants, like upcoming webinars or the current, most recent current developments in the Fulbright program, etc. You can always email us at these regional inboxes, but if you're not sure what inbox you should reach out to, you can always write us at scholars@iie.org. Our website that I showed you, visit that, and then you can also refer your colleagues. We do have a unique option also for if you think somebody else is also qualified and eligible, why not? Just give us their information and we'll reach out to them directly. We're very active on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so you want to follow us there too, so you will hear more about a specific information or just the stories that Fulbrighters are sharing. They're very inspirational. Okay, now I'm going to stop talking because you're probably tired of hearing me talking all the time. So I'm going to get some to questions. And so let's see if you have any specific questions. And so is it a disadvantage to apply to one open to all levels, including early career, versus one specifically for early career postdoc? Again, it depends on the discipline that is represented. If, let's say, the early career award that is also open to all level of scholars, including early career, lists your preferred discipline and this, the postdoc is not offering your discipline, for example, then go with the one in early career. So it depends. Every application is unique. So you want to look for, you know, what are you contributing to this country or to this institution, and whether one or the other contribution is higher. That's how you would decide and choose which award to apply to. which locations tend to be less competitive. So unfortunately, we cannot disclose the number of applications we receive and which countries or which awards are more competitive or less competitive, but focus on making your application competitive. So try to meet these parameters that are set for each award. That's how you make yourself very competitive. And then, you know, try to match the profile, try to reach out to the host institution, get their feedback, see whether they want you, whether there is a need for an expert like you. Because sometimes there is no need for an expert, and then you go to another country. So it has to be country specific. You really have to justify why that particular country. Is it standard for a host institution to provide office space and internet access? Should one discuss office space with host as part of the letter of invitation? Absolutely, yes. That's a great question. You want to discuss this among other things because remember I told you anyone can issue the letter of invitation as long as they have the authority. So this is what I had in mind. The person needs to have authority in order to give you office space. So you want to make sure they include this. And in the letter of invitation, besides the impact that you would have on this institution, also, the logistical aspect is important, too. Next question. If I'm applying for the Global Scholar Award involving Dominican Republic, Chile, and Philippines, will I need 3 letters of invitation? Yes. So basically, you will be providing the information about the impact on these 3 countries. That's why you will need to provide us with 3 letters of invitation so we know how is the program going to work for you in all these 3 countries, and what is the endorsement from these host countries, host institutions? All right, let's move on to some other questions. So how does housing work? For every country, the housing works differently, so you want to pay close attention to the benefits, and usually the information is listed there. If it's not listed there, you can reach out to the host institution and just discuss this with them. Even though, you know, this is like your last problem to worry about, still you want to know, you know, and to prepare yourself. Because sometimes scholars want to know if they have children, if they can enroll them in school during this time, or if they have dependents accompanying them, they want to know what's the benefit. So usually on the benefit side, tab, you will find this information. Okay. On our CV, do we need to order it by work experience publications and then education somewhere later, or can we have education public? And this is totally up to you. You know, you just want to also, we do provide some samples of resumes on our website, so you want to look those up, but again, highlighting your experience, let's say if you're applying for research, put that on top, your experience in research. If you're applying for teaching awards, put that on top, highlight that, you know, so make sure you're highlighting things that they're looking for, and then just list everything what you have, of course. Okay. I have another question about the Global Scholar Award, so that is something that I can address with my colleagues who work in the Global Scholar Award, because every country has specific requirements. So I'm going to get back to you later on this one. So, and we also held a webinar about Global Scholar Awards, so I would encourage you to listen to that too. Is the host professor considered our supervisor or more of a peer? Yeah, that's more like a collaborator. So this is the scholar program, remember, and it's not the student program. So the person you're collaborating with is your colleague. So it's not like they're supervising your work. However, you would be required to submit some quarterly reports just so that they know, you know, how is the Fulbright work progressing. But definitely, you know, this is a collaboration between colleagues, between exchange of experience between colleagues. So it's a peer, definitely. All right, so that's amazing. We have addressed all the questions. Actually, one is coming now. I spoke too soon. Where on our website can you find further information about the Flex option as a 63 countries? So on the catalog of awards, on the award page, the first tab underneath the grant length or underneath the location will show you whether Flex option is offered or not. It says Flex option yes or no. So that's where you will find this information. And you can also filter it how I showed you on the website. I have a BA in Spanish. How do I go about the language proficiency report? Okay, so then you would just fill out the self-evaluation form. We do provide specific guidance on that. And then you don't need to, if you're fluent and you have a BA in Spanish, I'm assuming you're fluent, so you just do a self-evaluation report. Okay. I have a PhD from a university in England. Do I need to provide a certificate of degree equivalency with my application? It depends on how recent was the PhD degree, and also depending on the country requirements. So you really need to discuss this with the host institution. Who is eligible for postdoc Fulbright scholarship? Only American citizens or also green card holders? This is open only to U.S. citizens, American citizens. So green card holders have to wait until they get their citizenship in order to be eligible to apply. Because remember, this is a bilateral program. It is funded by the U.S. government, but also by these other foreign governments. So that's why they really want to build these relationships between the U.S. citizens and these other citizens from around the world. So I think I've answered all the questions. And I have the last question about the slides. We're going to send you this webinar recording and the slides next week, most probably, when we archive them on our website. We're going to send a follow-up message. And then, again, I really appreciate your time and attention to the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. This shows that you are really committed to the program. Today is Friday, 5 o'clock. Before the holiday weekend, so that shows a strong commitment. You are really a strong applicant already to me. If you have any follow-up questions, reach out to us on our regional inboxes, and we'd be happy to advise you and guide you through the application process. I wish you a wonderful afternoon, and wish you a great time for the holiday weekend. So looking forward to hearing more from you. Have a nice day and good luck with your application.